Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Quickly, the show ahead. Mike Florio is waiting for us. Hang on, Mike. We're going to have Larry Boa on at 5:25, and he's going to give us his best bet. Boa's a big sports fan. Boa's a big football fan, so it's a football Friday. Larry Boa's going to give us his best bet, and he will. And then you get our picks as well. Larry and Charlie Manuel have a couple events coming up here in the next few weeks. They're going to be sleeping outside to benefit a homeless shelter coming up on the 21st of November. Both Charlie and Larry are doing it, so stay tuned for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We always love talking to Larry Boa. But, Ike, the conversation we were ready to have yesterday with the story that came out with Josina Anderson saying that, AB's going to go meet with the league. Several teams are interested. And then Rapshi put out a tweet kind of saying, yeah, the NFL, it may take some time to do the investigation. And then AB went ballistic on Twitter. So we thought maybe this was over, but I guess maybe it's not over. And Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and NBC Football Night in America, and his show on NBC Sports Network and NBC Sports Radio and everything else. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
Man, we're just when we think it's over with Antonio Brown, then he deletes the tweet, he puts out another tweet, and you just wonder if the NFL is really ever going to let him play. So give us the latest and break it down for us.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Something happened on Thursday to cause him to blow a gasket, and he's an emotional guy. And look, a lot of people don't like Antonio Brown. They've had enough of him. He co-opted the first month or so of the season, and there was the constant Antonio Brown questions about blisters on his feet and helmets on his head during training camp, and people just got sick of it. And then you throw in the civil lawsuit for sexual assault and rape. That gave everything a much more sinister tone. He had the incident that got him fired by the Patriots with the text messages that were sent that were harassing / intimidating. Another accuser who hasn't filed suit just went public with her concerns, even though her name wasn't given. She got her concerns out there about an interaction with Brown. So, you know, nobody is shedding tears for this guy right now, but I can understand why he's frustrated. The NFL has this system in place where you have the threat of paid leave. And if anybody signs him, there's a chance that Brown is going to be put on paid leave. And the NFL won't say whether or not he'd be put on paid leave. But if you're the team that signs him, why are you going to sign him if immediately you're paying him to not play and you're just sitting and waiting for the league to decide what they're going to do with him? The league, meanwhile, taking its good old time with this investigation. He's essentially on unpaid suspension now, the way that this paid leave thing is set up. He has to wait and wait and wait as the NFL kicks the can. And you get the sense the NFL just wants to push this all through the balance of the 2019 season. I can understand why he's upset. And especially if he's completely innocent, that's all the more reason to be upset. I don't know if he's innocent. I don't know if he's guilty. The challenge for him, though, next Thursday is going to be to go into the league office and tell a story that is convincing, if he is telling the truth, and to not get frustrated, to not get mad, to not get upset, because the investigators who are trying to get to the bottom of this will interpret that kind of behavior as maybe evidence of guilt. That is the biggest challenge. Whoever is preparing him for this next week has their work cut out for him, because I don't know how you get Antonio Brown to set aside that emotion that bubbled up yesterday, but it's all driven by emotion. He does want to play in the NFL. He wants this to be over. He believes he's being wronged in some way, and this is how he expresses himself. And if he expresses himself that way next Thursday, I don't think the end result is going to be a good one for Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Seattle says they kicked the tires on Antonio Brown before they eventually put in that waiver claim for Josh Gordon. Do you know what that means? I mean, did they more or less kick the tires and be like, yeah, it's just not going to happen in 2019? Because I agree with you. It seems like the NFL is going to slow play this as long as they can before it's like, well, the season's already over, so too bad. Sorry.
Yeah, it could be that somebody just back-channeled the league office and they said, well, you know what? Hey, you didn't hear this from us, but we're going to put him on paid leave if anyone signs him, period. That would be the only reason not to do it. You could get him a lot cheaper than what they're going to pay Josh Gordon. I think Antonio Brown is a much better player than Josh Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
Although Josh Gordon has the potential to be great. He had 1,646 receiving yards in 2013 in only 14 games. Randy Moss Terrell Owens never had 1,646 yards in a full season. So, you know, Josh Gordon's no slouch, but I'd take Antonio Brown as a player over Josh Gordon. I think somehow, some way, during that due diligence, the Seahawks found out that they're going to end up paying Antonio Brown to sit and wait while the NFL continues to drag its feet. And see, the problem is it's harder for the NFL to drag its feet if he's on a team and he's on paid leave, because then there's a greater sense of outrage that why aren't you getting this done? You have a fan base behind the proposition as well. Mm-hmm. Now that he's just floating around out there, there's not nearly the pressure that would be put to bear on the NFL to get this thing done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cincinnati, Mike, what's that situation with A.J. Green? He's not going on the field until he's 100% healthy. That doesn't look like that's going to end well there.
Yeah, you know, and I'm surprised that the Bengals didn't trade A.J. Green. And I don't know if teams didn't try. I don't know if the Bengals were too hard-headed to, you know, to take the best offer they can get and move on. This is the last year of his contract. Every time the Bengals have ever used a franchise tag on someone, the guy walks away the next year. I don't know that they're going to pay A.J. Green the kind of long-term contract that he wants now that the market has gone up to $22 million a year. And if you don't see A.J. Green play this year, how do you decide what you're going to commit to A.J. Green long-term? He missed a lot of games last year. He at this point, he's 0-8. I mean, if you're A.J. Green, why do you want to risk injury?
You right. don't.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah.
And if you're the Bengals, how much does he really help? You think more people are going to show up for games because A.J. Green's on the field? It's a lost cause this year in Cincinnati. They should have traded him. And this is where, you know, dysfunctional teams get in their own way. Like Andy Dalton, if they would have benched Andy Dalton before the day of the trade deadline, maybe they could have traded him to somebody. Who knows?
Right.
But they wait until the very day of the trade deadline to bench him. There's no way that you're going to work something out. And you know, dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. And there are five or six NFL teams that fall into that category. But I think the Bengals could have and should have found a way to get something for A.J. Green. If Mohamed Sanu gets a second-round pick for the Falcons, I think A.J. Green gets a first-round pick for the Bengals. And if you're the Bengals, why are you not taking that deal and moving on?
Or at least a second. You know what I mean, Mike? You're getting real value
at a minimum
for
a second-round pick.
Probably a second plus at least. Hey, back real fast back to Antonio Brown for a second. Do you think that they made a mistake not pressing the league to meet with Antonio Brown to start? Because the minute he meets with the league, that's when the investigation kind of takes that next step, right? I mean, we're already in week 10, and they haven't even met with him yet. Now they're finally meeting with him next week. Should they have done this sooner?
Well, the NFL's position will be, and this is what was explained last year when it came out that they had not met with Kareem Hunt in connection with the investigation they were conducting regarding him for an incident that happened in February of 2018. And the position was, well, we like to meet with the player last, and we're having a hard time getting the alleged victim to respond to us. And I think the NFL was just letting the thing sit.
Right.
And there was nothing they were going to do until they had to do something. In this case, okay, you're going to meet with Antonio Brown last. That's fine. But what else are you doing from September 10 until November 14? Like, what took 2 months for a situation where, and again, if this woman's telling the truth, it's a serious situation. And if they believe her allegation that he raped her, I don't know that he ever plays in the NFL again. But there wasn't a criminal investigation. I don't know how difficult it is at this point to find out all the evidence that you need to learn. And I think there's got to be an obligation at some level. And the problem is there's no rules, there's no deadlines, there's no procedure in place for the union to force this to move forward. The NFL is just, you know, they're just taking their time. And not that they're doing it on purpose, you know, but they can if they want to, because there's no specific requirements that this has to be done by then and that has to be done by then. But it's definitely a sign the investigation is almost over, because they wait until the very end. But based upon the things they hear from Antonio Brown, they may have to do follow-up with this person, follow-up with that person. I just really think that it's set up to take the whole season, and I don't think there's anybody at 345 Park Avenue who's going to complain about that.
You're right, and so you don't expect him to be on a team in 2019?
I don't expect him to play in 2019. And, you know, it won't surprise me if—and I don't know what they're going to do, right? But if they decide after meeting with him that he needs to be disciplined, And they don't think there was a rape involved. Because I really do think if they conclude a rape was involved, they can't let him ever play again, or at least not for multiple years.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they found he did something that was a violation of the personal conduct policy, but they're unable to conclude that the worst of the allegations is true, then you suspend him 6 games with 6 games left in the season, and he's free and clear for 2020. And that's a way that you can kind of reverse engineer the outcome you want. And that's the biggest problem with this. This in-house justice system allows the NFL to pick a preferred outcome and work backward to justify what it is that they want to do.
Pretty much. Well, at least in that scenario, Mike, we would be able to do this all over in the offseason. What team's going to sign Antonio Brown? Is he worth it, et cetera?
And how long will he stay there? But you know what? Right now, with DeSean Jackson on IR, and I assume this is why we're talking about
this.
Antonio Brown, Antonio Brown, you need a guy. Like, wouldn't that be great for the Eagles offense to add a guy who can provide the deep threat, and not just the deep threat, he can do all the other things too, and he's that element that we kept waiting for. Hey, whenever DeSean Jackson comes back, boy, this offense is going to be different. It's going to be better. It's going to be great. Now he's not coming back. Now you signed Jordan Matthews. I mean, what the hell is that? Why? Have you guys talked about whether or not Torrey Smith would be an option? I mean,
he said
fast.
No. He said no. He told Howie no.
They reached out to him and he said no?
I think so.
According to local reports, that was the case. Yeah,
I hadn't seen that.
He said no, thanks. No, but Mike, you're right. That's why we are talking about it, and we're talking to Mike Fleury of Pro Football Talk. I think a lot of us were kind of waiting to where we're like, all right, DeSean Jackson comes in and he saves the season. We don't think that we can really win anything by doing what we're doing right now, and then he comes and saves the season. He's out within 5 plays. Then he has surgery a couple days later. What was the reaction to that, Mike? I mean, the whole thing was just weird. The whole situation, from it seemed like it was a week-to-week injury to when it's like, man, he's been out for a month. Then he finally comes back and he's out for the rest of the season. Very strange.
Well, that's right. And the question becomes, why didn't you just get surgery when this first happened? And what's that balance between surgery and not surgery? And look, every surgery is serious. We get desensitized to it because it becomes this assembly line, right? And, oh, this guy needs surgery. He gets surgery. Surgery was a success, even when it isn't. And he's ahead of schedule. And, you know, it's very easy. Remember they used to say minor surgery all the time? And one of our lines was, it's only minor surgery when it's not surgery performed on you. Anytime you get your body cut open, it's a big deal. And DeSean Jackson wanted to try to get himself rehabbed without it. And they made a bad calculation. It didn't work. And I'm sure he personally would like to go back to week 1 and whenever the injury actually happened, get it fixed then and there and not try to rehab. But if you have to have it done anyway, you do it at a time where you can come back and play, because that's a frustration for the team, for the fans, for him. Yep. He'd be back right now, assuming that the surgery did go well and it was a success and they rehabbed it. And it's just unfortunate because what he did week 1 and how he helped the team snap out of that funk, and Carson Wentz told me after the game, that was the moment that it turns. Down 17-0, you hit DeSean Jackson for one long pass, and the cloud lifts, and the funk evaporates, and the Eagles roar back and win the game. And it would be nice to have that element, although they didn't have that element last year when they found the gas pedal late in the season. You know, the Eagles have shown us that they know how to find that gas pedal some point after Thanksgiving and ride it into the postseason. And, of all the teams in the NFC, that's one I'm keeping an eye on now.
All right, Mike. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
All right, there he is, Mike Florio. Yep. Antonio Brown. I mean, here's what I would say about Antonio Brown, right? There are allegations, they're civil, they're not criminal. It was investigated by the police. They're not pressing charges. The circumstances surrounding it is fishy. And other than that, I can't really get into the details because we don't know the details. But if he's cleared, and I think the NFL should either say, like, listen, either you're cleared or you're not, mm-hmm. right? Like, what they're doing is they're pretty much just they're waiting so he doesn't even play in 2019. If you believe he did something wrong, investigate it, come out, and suspend him. And then that way, at least he can play next year. I mean, the guy should be allowed to play. If you don't think he should play, then suspend him and don't let him play. But see, actually do the investigation.
I think they don't want to get mixed up in it, right? Like, they're probably looking at it like, okay, you got this allegation coming from this young lady. There was some type of relationship here that continued after the assault. The relationship, sure. So it gets muddy, right? It's
big time.
So, and they're looking at it like, well, hell, if the police didn't file charges, what are we supposed to do with it?
And if you remember, after he got released, they said right away, well, we're not going to put him on an exempt list if he's not signed by a team.
Right.
So in other words, we're not going to continue this investigation because we don't have to. He's not on a team.
Right.
Everybody knows what's going on here.
Yeah, I think they don't want to deal with him this year.
Right.
They'd rather get through 2019 without him. He's making it easy for them.
He's making it very easy.
He's making it easy for them.
Yeah. 888-729-9494.
Because the thing would be, what are you going to do? Talk to him and then clear him of the situation? So now you got to deal with the backlash from people saying
he's missed the whole year and he did nothing wrong.
Yeah, right? And it's like, so I think they just don't want to deal with it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they're going to have to start dealing with it next Thursday.
Yeah. And Florio's probably right. They could just suspend him for the rest of the year.
But you know what? At that point, I think he'd be happy to know at least he could come back and be eligible to play in 2020.
Right.
So that may actually be what comes down with this. 888-729-9494. Coming up, and obviously we'll get back to the phones here with Doug against Andy, but Orlando Scandrick, he was on FS1 again today. Mm-hmm. Is he taking over for Chris Carter on the...
Maybe he's trying to.
Well, anyway.
Man, they got rid of my boy CC, man.
All I did was catch touchdowns, Ike.
That's it. But Orlando Scandrick again on FS1, and he proved even further how big of a snake and a fraud he is. Wait till you hear this. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Don't go anywhere. All right, Marks and Reese, we're back on a football Friday. No Eagles this weekend, though, but plenty. I can't wait, Ike.
I got a good weekend lined up here, man.
What do you got?
College football tomorrow, right? LSU, Bama. Michigan State season's over with.
Yeah.
Don't look at me like that. It's over with, man. What do you want me to do?
No, I know.
We're going to the Liberty Bowl, probably.
Joe Girardi.
Yeah, we're going to the Liberty Bowl this year, probably. So, yeah. We got one more game.
Liberty Bowl. Is that for real? Is that like the fifth place team in the Big Ten?
We might not even be the fifth place team in the Big Ten this year. Yeah, we're down like 7th or 8th.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. But some other good games on tomorrow. I'll be checking out that Minnesota-Penn State game.
That's
a good game. Then I'll be checking out Bama-LSU. That's a good one. And then Sunday, we got all the football Sunday.
I can't wait.
Yeah, we got all football Sunday.
I hate primetime games because I'm old and I hate not getting sleep.
Right.
But I like those days because I can actually watch Red Zone all day and I don't have to worry about anything else. So the bye week is great because now I don't have to stay up all night and watch post game and I can be bye week. Now, one thing I am doing this weekend is decorating for Christmas.
What? What? Did you hear what he just said?
You hear what I said?
I heard what he said.
So, decorating for Christmas.
So my wife.
Thanksgiving yet.
My wife, Ike. I've been called the Grinch by my wife and my sister-in-law because I've always been a guy that was like, I'll start doing some shopping in December.
Right.
And, I mean, kind of deep into December sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll be done shopping by Thanksgiving. All of them. my wife's entire family, like, they're already... They're already done shopping.
They're wrapping gifts.
But here's the problem. They're never actually done shopping. They just say they're done shopping early.
Right.
And then it just continues and continues.
Keep buying stuff, yes.
Now, they're good shoppers and they save money because they eye stuff that are overpriced and they wait for it to go on sale and they pounce and they snatch.
Yeah.
But literally, down in my basement right now, we pulled everything out of storage last weekend because we were looking for something specific. So it's all sitting out.
Mm.
And it's like, can we decorate next weekend? And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So tomorrow, we're going to start decorating for Christmas. So on second week of November, we will be ready for Christmas.
Now, family tradition, we do that Thanksgiving night.
Like
we put up the Christmas tree Thanksgiving night.
Oh.
Or either Friday morning.
Okay, like, so that weekend.
Yes, it's after Thanksgiving. It's either that night or that Friday morning.
Well, we're not going to get that. Last year, we had the tree up middle of November because I was looking at some pictures from last year, and it's like, wow, it snowed November 14th, I think, November 13th, and our tree was up then.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too early for me.
And then we have to wait till the Egyptian Easter, which is after the regular Easter. It's like a week or so after the regular Easter. So that damn tree's gonna have to last all the way into January.
Hold on, y'all keep the tree all the way up into January?
For Egyptian Easter. My wife is
she's Egyptian.
Yes.
Okay.
So there's there's Egyptian Coptic Easter and there's an Egyptian Christmas, so we keep it up a little bit longer. So I'll have a Christmas tree for like 4 months.
Yeah.
Do you have to get multiple Christmas trees?
Okay.
No, but we are getting one for the basement now, like a little mini one.
Oh,
probably,
yeah?
Probably a fake one. Yeah, fake one.
Oh, I do fake trees.
Oh, yeah.
You gonna put a real tree up in my house for what?
No, but you could.
It's
you,
better.
But if you spend money on one of the good fake trees, that can pay off. Because, I mean, what are you paying now for a big? Because if you buy.
Yeah, what the hell am I going to do with a real Christmas tree in my house?
If you're in a house that has the high ceilings, you're not coming you're not coming home with a 5-foot Christmas tree. You're spending 80, 90 bucks on a regular Christmas tree, right?
I'm getting a white one. I'm getting a white tree this year.
A white one?
Yeah. Going white tree with the lights already attached.
How do you hate Christmas?
I love Christmas.
That's not Christmas.
That's not?
Nah.
You need a real tree?
A fake tree? White
a
tree?
A lot of people are doing fake trees these days.
A lot of people. Just so sad.
Not me. I love the
traditionalists.
Oh, I do the fake tree.
I love the pine needles all over the house.
Right, yes. Yeah, that's the stuff I don't want to deal with. That's the stuff I don't want to deal with right there.
Scratching the top of the car.
Yes. Got to put it on the roof, all that.
My kids are pulling stuff off it.
There's no fun going to pick out your fake Christmas tree.
Oh, sure it is. Put it right in a box. Put that right in the back of there, Sammy. Put that in the back of the MDX, buddy.
Oh.
Going right over to Home Depot.
All right.
I might go there today, as a matter of fact.
I'll take lots of pictures of the decorating this weekend, and I'll Instagram them up.
All right.
I'll put it on the gram.
You guys, time to make your weekly meatloaf? Or?
Yeah. What are you doing, bacon cookies, too?
I made it already this weekend. I made turkey meatloaf on Monday. I just didn't gram it.
Come on, man. It's called a tease, buddy.
I just made it, and then it wasn't baked till later on that night. And I didn't make it. I just made, like, the meatloaf, and then we cooked it later.
Prepped it.
Yeah. Got it ready. All right, also tonight I'm at the Tavern on Broad for Miller Lite. Buy you Miller Lite. 7 o'clock Tavern on Broad in Center City. And if you come out, there's also a photo booth tonight, so you can take pictures. Take pictures with me. And I'll take you and I'll buy you a Miller Lite if you come out and you're listening to the show.
They set up a photo booth for, like, you?
I might come over there,
for
man.
People. Stop over. I'll be there at 7 o'clock. Photo booth.
Do you take pictures with you or just the photo booth?
I don't have to be in the pictures. Lord knows I probably don't want to be in most of the pictures. Yeah. But the good thing is, people that will be there anyway but aren't coming there for me, they'll still come over and it'll be like that they're having fun.
Oh, I didn't know you were here, Johnny Marks.
Or, like, who's this guy? Oh, WIP, cool. Can I take a picture? Everybody loves a photo booth.
Everybody loves a picture, man.
All right, so that's tonight at 7 o'clock. All right, Orlando Scandrick on FS1. We know what he did a couple weeks ago. Is this on Fridays that he goes on this?
I don't think he's a regular, but they probably have had him back since.
Not yet. All right, so here's Orlando Scandrick, and he's proven how much of a fraud he is. Listen.
You came in. Be honest, singing the Cowboys praises before we even got started. So how far do you think they really can go this season?
I got told, Skip, we looking good right now.
Oh, we now.
We looking good.
Well, he did play for the Cowboys for a long time.
Good.
He earned the right to say we.
That's unbelievable.
So he already has it down pat what to do on that show, right?
Yep. Well, listen.
Skip does the same damn thing.
Yeah, you buddy up to Skip. Yeah, and you're a former Cowboy. That's what you need to do. He rolled that out. We looking good right now, see? Mm. We had a mole in the house.
Only took him 2 weeks to start saying we.
You got a mole in the house.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He's probably trying to get back to Dallas.
Maybe doing some stuff for the organization or pre and post. I don't know about that.
Well, they're the only team that would sign him at this
right,
point.
Exactly.
Yeah, no one else is.
Given how he's treated the Eagles locker room.
And with Big Jer, you never know.
Yeah.
He knows he's out there doing this stuff. All right, somebody wants to argue with me, and then we'll get back into the Andy Doug debate. Dave on a cell. Dave, what did I say that you would want to argue with me? I've been nothing but positive today. What's up, buddy?
I haven't listened to you all day, but I tuned in. And every time I tune in, you're always saying stuff that, like, I think you do it for shock value. Mm. But I'm going to go as far as saying I have 2 points, and then I'll let you guys.
Well, what did I say? No, hold on. What did I say?
Well, the thing is, like, I'm going to go back, and then I'll come to the present.
Okay.
We'll go back to when you said Carson can't be elite, or Carson is very good, but he's not elite. Mm-hmm. My point, and I've been trying to get this point, I always forget when I get on, I always stray off. But my point is, if you look at Brett Favre, you look at Steve Young, those guys we can agree were elite. Look at the first 4 years of their careers. Both of those guys got traded before they even got started. So we can agree that they weren't elite then. They were very good. We're not giving Carson a chance to get there. He's still early in his career.
He's still a developing quarterback. I agree.
Yeah, so we can't really say he's elite. We can't say he stinks or he's not playing up to par. He's played way up to par for a guy who's only been in the league 4 years. And to build up to today's point where we said, oh, well, we caught lightning in a bottle. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go off of what Mike said. We didn't catch lightning in a bottle with Carson having that first, what was it, 13 games he played in?
Right.
That wasn't lightning in a bottle. That was a streak.
Yes.
The guy played unphenomenal football. That's not lightning. That's proof. Lightning in a bottle is when Nick Foles comes in as a backup and wins the Super Bowl, just like Jeff Hostetler did when Phil Simms went down.
Yes.
Right. How did Jeff Hostetler play in the Super Bowl, though?
Well, they won the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah, but how was his individual play in the Super Bowl? That's where it's different, though, right? I mean, Jeff Hostetler had an all-time defense, and Bill Parcells was more or less saying, just don't screw it up. Go out there and be a game manager. Nick Foles didn't do that.
But he still had to play the game. He still had to play the game. Regardless of what his stats were, he got out in that game, and he played to win. He had to put up points. The defense just didn't go out there and score touchdowns for the guy. He had to put up. He had to throw touchdown passes, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't sit there and you know, nitpick every stat that the guy did. I don't know. I don't know what he did in that game. I didn't look that far.
Even with
won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, even with the numbers not being the same, it doesn't matter. That was a different time. That was a different era. That was a different formula for them to win. The point is when you say you caught lightning in a bottle, is that you don't see that over a long period of time. That's the lightning in the bottle that Nick was
lightning
in.
Lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, because it's a short period of time.
So you're saying he got lucky. More or less, you're saying he's lucky, Dave.
No, I'd say it came together at the right time. The chemistry came together at the right time. It was coaching. Like, that changed the formula. When he first started with Nick Foles, his formula wasn't good. Nick Foles showed it. But then he went back to the drawing board and got with the other coaches and said, we need to come up with a better game plan for this guy. He doesn't fit Carson Wentz's game plan. Because if you look at the game plan for Carson Wentz, that's why he went 11-2 or whatever the record was at that time. That's not lightning in a bottle.
It was a different team. Dave, I appreciate it as we move into the Doug and Andy conversation, and it's the reason why I vote in our poll, and it's brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, Route 3 and 9 in Montgomeryville, online marks-jewelers.com. Great assortment of engagement rings. Check it out. And our Twitter question is, Ray Didinger this morning put out his all-Eagles team, all-time team, but in the all-time team, he didn't have a coach. Mm-hmm. So we're asking you, who's the coach for the team? And there's some people that wanted to say Dick Vermeil, and we'll get to those phone calls as well. But really, it's coming down to Doug or Andy Reid.
What's the voting looking like?
Well, I'm trying to look it up right now, but Jack's been doing some good tweeting today and retweeting today, so I got to go down quite a bit. Right now it is, and it's almost 6,000 votes. It's Andy Reid, 41%, Doug Peterson, 39%, Vermeil, 13%, and then Buddy Ryan for giggles was 7%. And the reason why I said Doug Peterson and I voted Doug Peterson on this poll was that he exactly that. It's what he had to do. He just didn't put it in autopilot and say, yep, let's go, Carson Wentz. This is how we're going to win it. Go out there and throw. We're rolling over everybody. Great offense. He actually had to start over with Nick Foles, a bad Nick Foles coming in, and he had to figure out what he can do to get Nick playing like he did when he was with Chip Kelly back in 2000 and whatever. And he figured out a formula to where you got to the Super Bowl and Nick Foles played the game of his life. I mean, he'll never play like that again. He outdueled Tom Brady. Doug, in that game, coached the game of his life. And so I know Andy Reid was here for 14 years. Andy Reid has a great resume in the NFL and as the Eagles coach. But when you look at what Andy Reid did here, while it was impressive, what Doug has done here is even more impressive. 3-plus seasons, Doug's 11 games over 500, 34-23 with injured quarterback, with a backup quarterback trying to win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And Doug was more instrumental in that Super Bowl than Andy Reid was in any of those big games. Andy Reid came up small in those big games. I had to vote for Doug Eich.
That's good for you. I'm actually surprised at this. You obviously know who I was going to vote for.
Andy.
And Andy Reid. That's my coach. Always will be. But I'm actually pleasantly surprised that over 5,000 votes that this fan base gets it too. They get it. It's so easy to go with Doug because he's a Super Bowl winning coach. That's the easy way out. But I'm actually proud of this fan base looking into as an all-time coach here and appreciating what Andy did as a coach here. And that's why he's leading. Slim, 41-39, but you know as well as I know, it's so easy to hit B for Doug because he won the Super Bowl.
Because he won the Super Bowl, right.
It's the easy way to go. But at least a good portion of this fan base put thought into it, and they're giving Andy his credit.
Well, I'm happy.
I'm actually happy to see that.
I agree with you because I do believe that Andy is underappreciated, and there's a certain segment of this fan base that will come out and say, came up, never won big games and everything else. And we know that's not the case. Andy Reid came in here and built this franchise when he came in here. And you saw the difference from the start. You played for Ray Rose.
Yes, sir.
You saw what it was like before Andy Reid.
Yes, sir.
He changed things, right? So you have to give him credit for that. And you said this earlier. A lot of what the Eagles do right now from the franchise and how they're built and the players they value and everything in the salary cap age, some of that was Joe Banner. A lot of it was Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Howie Roseman and Doug are just kind of doing an extension of what was already going on here. But yep. As far as being a head coach, Doug Peterson, in the biggest game of this franchise's existence, went out and had the best game of his career.
He did.
He really did. And Andy, for all the success he did have here, once the Super Bowl run happened and the loss happened, he didn't have as much success in that second half of his career. I mean, really, he was kind of an average coach.
Here's what he did, though. He rebuilt that team and still got him back to the NFC Championship game. You got to realize Donovan had three different eras here as a quarterback.
Difficult to do.
He had three different eras. So Andy having to build that era and even taking Michael Vick, who hadn't played football in over 2 years, and made Michael Vick look the best Michael Vick ever looked as a quarterback under Andy Reid. That was Andy.
Andy, he deserves a lot of credit for it.
That was Andy.
No doubt about it. If he didn't lose that NFC Championship game again, if he was in another Super Bowl, even if he didn't win, I really think it's different.
No, right. It wouldn't be.
No, I really do. It's different because, the resume looks that much better. He's 5 games over .500 post-Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's...
How many games over .500 is Doug post-Super Bowl?
Three. Three? Well, in 2 years.
What? I just going post-Super Bowl.
All right. Well, he was 66-61 after the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
So while he was still a playoff coach, he also had, he had some 6-win seasons in there.
Due to injuries.
He had 4-12 season in there.
Now, that was terrible.
8-8. You know?
8-8, yeah, that's not bad.
8-8.
It's .500.
9 wins. 888-729-9494.
How many losing seasons did Andy Reid have in 14 years here?
I think 3. First year, which really shouldn't be counted against them.
First year and last year.
Okay.
And then that 6-10 year.
Okay.
That was due to injury.
3. Okay, well, I mean, Doug's had 1.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. Yeah, but he's only been here 3.5
right.
years.
No,
I'm just saying in 14 years, the guy only had 3 losing seasons. The first year, the last year, and the 1 year he lost his quarterback.
No doubt about it. And we should this conversation shouldn't become negativity crush Andy, but Andy was what he was. Excellent coach.
Well, it has become now. I'm just staving off you. You haters.
No, I mean, but those things are there, like the timeouts and the lack of adjustments and, the Seminoles and the wide receivers and all that stuff. I mean, that stuff happened. You don't see that with Doug. Doug's much better on game day with those kinds of things, right? I never worry in the fourth quarter about not having a timeout left because of bad clock management or not getting a play in on time, right? I mean, there's things that Doug clearly does better really from the first day than Andy Reid, and those things matter. And in the Super Bowl, Doug showed that. Doug outcoached Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl, beat the best coach and the best quarterback of all time. 888-729-94.
And still Andy leads the voting.
Andy's leading the voting right now.
Still Andy leads
so
the
we'll
voting.
So we'll get your write-in votes on the phones right now. 888-729-9494.
I mean, I love Doug, but Big Red, man. Come on, man.
Big Red even came back into town last night for the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame. Flew in, game week, preparing for a game, getting Patrick Mahomes back, and he came in for his guy number 5.
The other thing you can't underestimate is the coordinators that Doug had. Team hasn't looked the same.
Andy had some good coordinators.
Well, Andy also made Juan Castillo defensive coordinator.
Yes, he did.
How about that?
888. Thank you, Jack. 888-728. Yeah. Listen, if Doug makes if Doug makes Stoutland the defensive coordinator, you win. I'll vote for Andy. Marks and Reese, we go uninterrupted for nearly an hour with you coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, LSU and Alabama are facing off, and FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving you the chance to get an even bigger win when you bet on the game. Sign up with promo code Ike and bet up to $5 on the LSU-Alabama money line. Now, if your bet wins, FanDuel Sportsbook will pay out your bet in site credit at 25-1 odds. Sign up using promo code Ike to qualify. Not only do they offer spreads, over-unders, parlays, props, round robins, and more, FanDuel Sportsbook also has special promotions running every day, like close loss insurance, touchdown bonuses, and boosted odds. FanDuel Sportsbook has lightning-fast withdrawals, and that means you can have your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Sign up with promo code Ike, that's I-K-E, then place a $5 moneyline bet on the LSU-Alabama game. You'll get paid out in site credit at 25-1 odds.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.